What is up, boys and girls? It's Chris Farley here, aka Farley Betts, and this is the first official episode of Laying the Points with Farley Betts this NFL season. Been on a bit of a hiatus, that's for sure, but I've also been doing a lot of stuff over there at Substack, which hopefully by now you have seen my Substack. I'm just Farley Betts over there too, same as I am on Twitter, on X, at Farley Betts. And I'm planning on saying this from the very start of this show. I'm not planning on any kind of recurrence this NFL season for my show, for my podcast, for any kind of content like this. I will say I'll do something like this once a week where I talk about NFL games and talk about my perspectives. And then maybe as the season rolls on, I will have a consistent day that I do that, probably more towards the end of the week. We could talk about contests and things like that. But I just really want to focus on my own NFL bets, my own NFL contests, and getting that information out to my clients. Speaking of which, if you would like to be a free subscriber of Farley Betts Substack, you can do that anytime. Just go over to Substack, look for Farley Betts, sign up for free. You can also become a paying subscriber and receive all of my NFL plays all season long. You can also go over to Sports Memo for more of a daily, weekly type of thing. Like every week I'll have a package over there. Sometimes I'll have dailies. Still betting a lot of tennis. That's going to end here soon, but we are red hot in the U.S. Open. We're up 10 units in 3 days, 2-0 on our parlays in the U.S. Open too. So that's cool to see. But it's good to be back here on a more, you know, traditional episodic show, Laying the Points. This is what I did for many years. Took some time off, figuring some things out, a lot of career transitions going on. But I am loving life over there at Substack. So that's really where I want you to check out if you want to go anywhere. Now, with that, I have to intro my guest because for the first episode of Laying the Points, it has to be special, right? It has to be a good one. And I have a very special guest on today's show. This guy is a lifelong NFL handicapper and bettor, former associate director at the 33rd team. I was there along with him too as the heads of betting, two heads of betting. That's how it was at the time. Fortunately, we got along very well. He continues to be an esteemed writer over there at Establish the Run. He's my friend, fellow Giants fan, a fellow North Jersey native. When I first heard this guy's voice, I was like, this guy sounds like family. He sounds like one of my cousins, one of my uncles. Just has that. There's a different voice that is different than Long Island. It's different than New York. It's different than South Jersey. It's North Jersey. For my money, too, he's just one of the sharpest guys in the industry. I've said this before on my shows. I don't listen to many people. I purposely try to be blind to what anyone says on Twitter, anybody's podcast. I just don't listen to many people. I don't want to hear it. This guy, I do want to hear what he thinks, and he always adds an extra layer to all of our football conversations. You can follow him at Ryan Reynolds NFL on X. He is Ryan Reynolds, and I must say, too, as I bring you in, Ryan, we met in person, which that's not something I can say about, I don't think anyone in the industry. I met some contest people in Vegas before. But we met in the spring or summer. I had a wedding to go to in North Jersey. And I'll just set the stage here, Ryan, which if you know Ryan, this is very on par with his persona. I'm in there. I'm in my suit. I take off my jacket. It's a little warm. The whole wedding party's there. Everybody's, you know, just the energy's high. Everybody's in white or light garments. And in comes Ryan. He's got the black hoodie. I believe the hoodie was over your head at the time, Ryan, on your way in. And as I said, this is exactly what I would expect. No frills, just exactly who you are, Ryan, and I respect the hell out of you for it. I also wouldn't have messed with you if I saw you walking into that bar on that particular day with that crowd. How are you, my man? It was great to meet you in person. It's great to be back with you here on the pod.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to chopping it up today. And you're the first and only person I've met in the industry in person. And the fascinating thing about it was, you know, again, you were basically like loading up to go to a wedding, you know, like with like the group there. So we had like a hard out essentially, and we talked about various subjects nonstop for an hour, you know, like we do this every weekend. And you know, again, like as you know, Farley, I don't really give a shit, so. Me walking in that environment with the hoodie was part, you know, it is who I am. I do dress like Bill Belichick whenever I can, you know, it is a thing. But it's also, it makes the story better, especially because one of the women, when I walked in, just the look of disgust she gave me while I was sitting in there was worth it for me. But yeah, dude, looking forward to talking ball, and yeah, man.
Yeah, it was one of those places where every stem is long. You know, the champagne glasses are probably $25 each. It was a really nice establishment, and that's why I love that you kept it real, Lion. I mean, that's what you do, and that's what you're going to do today in this NFL conversation, which if I'm going to have anybody on a show with just to partner up with and talk ball and talk about perspectives before the season, I genuinely mean it. It is you, and I know that you, mostly because, too, you know how to talk about football. You're not going to, you know, there are some shows out there. No, I'm not going to throw any shade about any particular names, but you know, we can't get too much in the weeds here. You know, like betting is about the macro. There's a lot that goes into it for sure, but you know, you guys will not fail to be entertained in this show. This is going to be a great show. We're going to talk about a lot of teams. Of course, we're going to discuss our New York Giants. Got to have a little case study about them because they're a little more interesting than usual, I might say, Ryan. Coming into this season. But let me just, okay, let's start off. Let's do a little round robin. And I'm going to start with the Denver Broncos because I understand you and I might have a little bit of a differing opinion here. If anyone follows my stuff, you probably heard it by now from me. I'm pretty high on the Broncos coming into this season. And I'll give my thesis statement and maybe we can talk more about it after I hear your piece, Ryan. But, you know, for me, coach, quarterback, I like it. You know, I like the teacher and the student type of thing. Bo Nix is the kind of kid who is very teachable, trainable. He's going to listen. Sean Payton has the, you know, the esteem coming from a Super Bowl victory. We know he's a good offensive coordinator. And, man, that defense, man, it surprised a lot of people last season. I think it could be another top unit this year. Denver is one of the teams that I've done a deep dive on, so I'm very interested to hear your perspectives. Of course, they are in the very difficult AFC West. And the AFC in general. So what are your thoughts on the Broncos heading into the season?
Yeah, I mean, going to this show, Denver's the one team I asked. I was like, can we talk about Denver? Because I know we both value coaching at a high regard. You know, like that's – I think we put more stock into that than most people do. But for me, just at a baseline level, and I'm someone when Mojo was around, I bet on Bo Nix before he was drafted. I was higher than consensus on him. So I thought he was going to be good. I also think now we're in the territory where he's a little overrated. You know, I think the team itself is very much a team that they overachieved last year. And I think just expecting that they're going to take the next step, I don't think that's a foregone conclusion, but there are two things that give me pause in like betting against them. It's they do have a very good offensive line, which is a hallmark of Sean Payton teams in New Orleans. They always had a top 10 line. They already have that in. I do like Knicks. But the big one is Sean Payton himself. You know, like, we talk about this all the time, like foundation of an organization. They're not going to be bad. I just think them taking the next step where, like, maybe they're a 12, 13 win team and Bo Nix is an MVP candidate that a lot of people are talking about. I'm not quite there. I think they could even out a little bit. So I'm not, like, anti-Denver. I'm just cautious. That said, like, their week one home matchup against Tennessee, like, that's a terrible spot for Cam Warden in his rookie debut. So I could see them getting off to a fast start.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't be a more difficult start, right? I mean, you have the Denver intangible anyway, right? Up at elevation against the top-ranked defense. And you know Sean Payton's going to have a lot in the old arsenal to throw at them. I'm trying to bring up my specific Denver analysis over here on my side. But I want to make something clear here, too. I mean, it sounds like we don't differ as much as I thought just because I, too, don't think – I mean, I don't think this team is necessarily going to the Super Bowl. I did put down a sprinkle dinkle, Ryan, on them winning the Super Bowl because the value, I believe, is plus 2,800 when I did it. They have the core ingredients of a team that I think could do it, you know, especially if you get one Lamar Jackson injury, maybe another injury or something else bringing down the KC offensive line, like the rookie that came in. He looks very good. Maybe he gets injured or something. All of a sudden – you know, this is a wide open AFC and they, you know, starts with defense, but the coach and quarterback intangible is huge for me. So it's possible. I don't expect it though. You know, I think this is going to be a 10-7, maybe 11-6 type of team. And I think they can make a dent in the playoff. That's their future this season for me. But in general though, ascending, you know, this team is on the up.
Yeah. They're probably going to be a factor going forward just because again, coach and quarterback. You know, Payton compared Nix to Breeze. Well, I think that's a little lofty. There are some similarities. He's just not as accurate of a passer. But, yeah, man, I'm good with that. 10, 11 wins, I think, is fine. I'd probably be more in like the 8 to 11, where 11 is the absolute ceiling, but like 8 to 10 would be the range that I'm at for him.
Like it. Okay, let's move on to another. They're all interesting, but I tried to get some of the ones that are more compelling to me on here. The Colts. Let's just start with this, Ryan. We lived through the Daniel Jones experience. And a few weeks ago, even before many thought, I remember getting some flack on Twitter saying that it looks like Daniel Jones is going to be the guy. And this guy's like, where did you hear that? I didn't see that. I thought it was kind of obvious just because they're, you know, fading away from Anthony Richardson. And Daniel Jones is still, he's still been a starter in this league, right? I think he's the type of guy that Shane Steichen thinks he can turn into somebody much better than what he's shown. But my biggest thing, Ryan, and I don't hate the Colts, right? That top 10 offensive line, most likely, a defense that's, there's room to believe they can grow with some of the additions that they made. But I've seen Daniel Jones and his pocket presence or lack thereof, Ryan, and you know that it's a better run blocking offensive line from what I'm seeing, and they better shore that up. Like he also doesn't have the greatest weaponry in the NFL, right? I mean, it's gotten better too. You know, Michael Pittman is still there, a freak tight end now that they have, but to believe that the Colts are going to just like rise up and become a legitimate team, I still don't see it, and I'm starting to feel bad for Shane Steichen, who, I mean, he's part of the decision making too to bring guys over, but I don't think Daniel Jones is the guy, and I think they're going to suffer because of it. That's my take. What do you think about the Colts?
Yeah, very much aligned. You know, you said like futures bets that you like, and you know, the first one I have on my list here is I wrote for a magazine this offseason, so I bet on the Colts under 7.5 wins when it was -110, you know, a while ago, because what's the absolute ceiling of this team? And to backtrack a little bit on that is, like, people talk about the one year that Daniel Jones took the Giants to the playoffs and they won 9 games, where reality was they won 5 games or so by the skin of their teeth. I believe you went to the game live where they beat Baltimore, where that was definitely a balls bouncing off dudes' helmets, you know, like, type of affair. I like Shane he's in a tough spot. Like, I like him as a coach, and I actually think Daniel Jones is a good system fit for him, as well as Daniel Jones can be a good system fit for anyone, but imagine you're on the hot seat and you have to turn to Daniel Jones. Like, I wouldn't be – he's probably not sleeping a wink. I think their defense is scrappy. I think that's more of an overachieving unit than one that's, you know, going to, like, ascend to a top five group. The strength of their team still is their offensive line, but that, you know, new center, new right guard, their left tackle, left guard combo is probably one of the better ones in the game. Yeah. That's the strength of their team. But like you said too, like, Daniel Jones' lack of pocket presence, like, it's not like the Colts are loaded, you know? Like, it's kind of a parallel situation to the Giants roster for him. So, you know, if Indianapolis' defense performs at a top 10, you know, level, which I think would be a stretch, you know, he can be a game manager. But, yeah, I too have zero enthusiasm for the Colts, and that seems like a reset across the board for them this offseason.
Yeah, agreed. It's like Brian Daboll is like, you know, more fortunate in a situation where he gets rid of the Daniel Jones problem. And now someone like Shane Steichen, who I think is just as qualified and just as bright of an offensive and quarterback mind, now he gets Daniel Jones. The situationally, I like Daboll's situation better than Jones as far as, you know, the prospects of remaining with the franchise. And, you know, it's something I say all the time too. I've seen guys in the military who thrive under pressure. They thrive under chaos. Like, you know, guys who wanted to get as close as they could to bomb or missile going off when we had to expend those munitions out there in the yard, you know, like a little too close, you know, like relax, you know, it's not that exciting, bro. Either you got it or you don't, you know, either you kind of can handle, and I'm sure maybe it's something you can learn, Ryan, but there are some guys who are just naturally stoic in those situations. Look at Joe Burrow, who continues to be one of the most pressured quarterbacks in the NFL. It doesn't matter, right? CJ Stroud, pretty good in similar situations. Daniel Jones, even if there's a light rush, you know, it's like his eyes down the field, he's panicking. Now he's with a new franchise, a new environment. I just don't love it. Actually, low key, which is one of my positions that I give out for clients. I'm not going to say on the show what the actual position was, but I like the Dolphins more than the Colts in week 1. And that's just because it's Daniel Jones' first start. You know, like there's pressure on him now. And I don't think that they can match the score. If Miami is a semblance of what they used to be at all, I don't know if the Colts can match that. So that's just going to keep happening all season from where I sit. But All right, let's move on to the next team. I'm going to let you start this one off so I don't, you know, keep blabbering about every team before you give your take. The Arizona Cardinals, I think they're a very interesting team. Ryan, what do you got on this NFC West program heading into the season?
You know what's funny about this dude is that I don't know any of the teams you're going to bring up. And I was like, you know what? Exactly. He's the sort of guy who's going to bring up the Cardinals. Like, he's exactly the sort of dude. Like, they're in a weird spot because I actually think they have a pretty good coaching staff. I've always liked Kyler Murray, although he's kind of, you know, stagnated a little bit. But, like, you know, a couple years ago through the first half of a season, you know, he was the front runner in the MVP race, you know. So, like, he has a massive ceiling. They start in New Orleans. So, like, that's – New Orleans is probably going to win two games, you know. New Orleans is as close to a free win as there is this year. Roster-wise, I think they're going in a good direction. I still don't think they're quite there. I still think they're going to be in that, like, messy 8-9 win kind of scenario. It the big one for me, though, is like what happens in the division. Seattle, I don't think Seattle has a plan. Like, I have no idea what they're trying to do. The Rams, if Matthew Stafford's healthy, the Rams are a title contender. If they're not, that opens up a lane for Arizona. And while San Francisco has the easiest schedule in the league, that roster is not what it once was. So I don't think they're drawing dead at the division. I still think they're hovering in that. Like, they still need a little bit more to become a contender, though.
Yeah, and, you know, Jonathan Gannon, the other coordinator of that one Eagles Super Bowl with Shane Steichen now, kind of under the gun too, right? Because this is a season where got to start to put a few things together. Like, I like the additions that they have on the defensive line. You know, Josh Sweat, Davon Tomlinson. People forget that Josh Sweat was, you know, had some massive seasons before, you know, maybe not so much last year, but he can make a big difference on that team. It's that final 10 games for the Cardinals that really has me, man. The final 10 games is really brutal. If you discount the Seahawks, they got Green Bay, San Francisco, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, the Rams, the Texans, the Falcons, the Bengals, and the Rams again. Just not an easy stretch to finish the season. Then as high as I want to be on the car, like, I like their additions too. I totally agree about Kyler Murray. Like, the guy is just one, you know, Call of Duty campaign. Like, just put Call of Duty down for a little bit. If he does that maybe for one season, like, this guy could be just the next version of who he probably should be with how much talent he has. But then when you're in the NFC West and you got that kind of schedule, it's going to get – they have to win at first, you know. And then I might even suggest to our listeners out there, if the Cardinals do win a lot at first, maybe you consider an in-season under on their win total if you see like a 10.5 or 11.5 or something, because, you know, then you might be in a much better – spot. But, like, you know, I approached my team, my, like, analysis of them really liking everything and then seeing their schedule and just knowing how the way things go sometimes with the Cardinals, man. Like, Kyler Murray is that guy who you expect to do all the big things, and he cyclically lets you down. So
it's true.
Yeah, so it looks like we're mostly in agreement about that too. You know, again, and I want to just remind our audience, you know, welcoming your perspectives on this too, Ryan, but I think I do speak for Ryan. Like, we're not the type of guys who are going to come on here and say this is what's going to happen this season, or this is not what's going to happen this season, right? You know, going into a year, there's just so much unknown, and inevitably, even in week one, so much shit is going to happen. Players are going to pop that you've never seen before, and you're like, who the hell is that guy? You know, guys are going to get injured. There are going to be surprises. There are going to be some things that are expected, but there's a reason why Survivor doesn't last very long. Most of these seasons lately, man, there's just a lot of parity in this league. All right, let's go with the New England Patriots, Ryan. I know you and I probably share some similar, like, agreements about some positive culture changes. I know you're a Mike Vrabel guy, so am I. Yeah. I was befuddled when the Titans let go of him. I was like, what? Yeah. Why are we doing that? But what, man, this worked out well for Vrabel. I mean, he couldn't be in a better spot as far as an organization that he'd want to be with. How much success do you expect from the Patriots this season?
I love the question. The emphasis on the word "this," because again, I am a Mike Vrabel guy. He automatically makes the defense a more dangerous unit. I still think this is a bottom five roster, so I think they still have building to do. Again, long term, great hire, like you said. Why, you're the Tennessee Titans? Like, why are you letting this guy leave? You know, like, what on earth are you thinking? One of the worst front office decisions I've seen in a long time. The one caveat I'll give for New England is versus Raiders, at Dolphins, versus Steelers, versus Panthers, at Bills, at Saints, at Titans, versus Browns. that's pretty manageable. Where like if they got 5 wins out of that group, I don't think that's off the table. That said, like I would say I'm more bullish on New England than the field. Like I think they're going to be better, but I don't think they're a playoff team or anything yet.
Yeah, you hit a lot of points. I was going to say the path to over 8.5 wins is very clear. If they can get out of those first 8 games, which are not hard, yeah. Like if they're at least 4-4, especially if they're 5-3, the path is there, you know, because even after those first 8 games, you got the Giants and you got the Jets twice. So there are opportunities, you know, to stack up some more wins. But yeah, like you, man, especially on defense, I know they got Christian Rodriguez. You know, I know they brought over Carlton Davis, which is a good addition. You know, that's a really good duo at cornerback. But I don't know if they did enough for the defensive line. I mean, they brought over Milton Williams from Philly, who's a young guy and had some good showings, but enough to fortify that line. But then I say to myself, Vrabel, with a talent-poor defensive roster on Tennessee a few times, especially with injuries of the past, he brought the best out of that defense. You know, so you know, they absolutely overachieved quite a few seasons with him. So maybe like he's the X factor that brings this defense to the next level. But then you look at their offense and, you know, Stephon Diggs is good. But I mean, Hunter Henry, man, 97 targets last season. Like he was their main guy. That's a lot for a Hunter Henry type of tight end. So they need more out of their offense too. And like this is a team going in the right direction, but I'm certainly not bullish on them getting to 9 wins necessarily. Better. It's not going to be 4-13, I don't think, but right. Man, it's, I do like seeing Vrabel though. I do like seeing him in New England, man. I mean, that's a good, and now you have Josh. Hey, Ryan, can Josh McDaniels finally admit that he should just be an offensive coordinator, or are we going to,
I think it's time. Yes.
Yeah. Like stop trying to coach. Like it just makes him mad at the world every time. Anyway. All right. I had the Saints in here. I feel like you already kind of blew the lead, and so would I, because for me, the Saints are the worst team in the NFL this season. And that starts at quarterback, right? Which is obviously the single most important position in the NFL. I don't know if you have anything else to add, but I'll just say, well, I'll ask you before I say my thoughts. What are your thoughts on Kellen Moore being their coach?
Kind of feel bad for the guy. Like he's a guy who maybe deserves a shot where he had to take the Saints job. It's just you're not set up for success there. Your only real path is you're so bad and Arch Manning decides to come out and follow in his grandfather's footsteps and be the Saints quarterback. Like that's like your best path. But their quarterback situation, dude, is I can't remember one entering a season this bad that wasn't injury related. It's just a disaster. We'll talk about Survivor more, but New Orleans is on the radar for not winning a game this year. They genuinely are. And like, you said this before, we're not going to inflate things for entertainment purposes when it comes to this stuff. They're bad. They're that level bad.
I agree. They're the one team that I do feel like bad or good, right? Like you rate these teams before the season. I can count on this team being bad. I'm pretty sure. I'm still not certain, but right. I mean, in order for them to be good, their offensive line would need to rapidly develop along with their defensive line. And we know the trenches is next to quarterback and coach, maybe the most important thing in the game. A quarterback, like there's a reason why Tyler Shug didn't, you know, it took him till 25 to get into the NFL. And Spencer Rattler hasn't showed us anything. 6 yards per pass, 57% completion percentage. It's tough, man. I like your take on Kellen Moore because I know Kellen's not watching this anyway, but don't mean to laugh, but like, man, if you're going to become a coach for the first time, this is about as bad as it gets.
It really is.
And you know what it gives me vibes of, Ryan? It gives me Brandon Staley vibes a little bit because
I like that.
I think he's smart. Like I think he's a good technical offensive coordinator. I don't know if he's a leader of men, you know, and you need that. And I mean, obviously, you know, I don't think he's a culture changer. That's at least not what I'm getting from him. Like, you know, people act like this stuff isn't quantifiable. I guess it's not, but you can also watch someone like Dan Campbell or Mike Vrabel or even Pete Carroll. And you could say, I get why the culture is changing there. You know, I get why these players believe in themselves a little more. Not getting any of those vibes, and they need a lot of those vibes down in the bayou. All right, this is going to be a really – I'm fascinated to hear what you think of this team because I haven't heard I mean, I'm trying not to listen to pretty much anyone, but I don't think I've talked to anybody about this team yet. So curious about your thoughts on the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, it's I think they're one of the most important teams to get right because, you know, again, like normally I'm a regression better. So you have this team that's been the best team in the NFC for 5 years. They get murdered by injuries last year. They lose some talent and they're atrocious. Usually that's a bounce back candidate. I don't think that's a guarantee with the one caveat that their schedule is so soft that alone can end up, they could end up being a team that wins 12 games because of their schedule and then loses in the first round of the playoffs. But, you know, I don't think they are what they were. And they still have, you know, their offensive line is a Trent Williams injury away from being terrible. Kyle Shanahan's one of the few guys who can coach around that successfully, but that's where I'm at. It's any enthusiasm I have for the 49ers is entirely schedule related.
Yeah, I mean, the wide receiver room situation isn't easy. I just want to point out, too, that, again, genuinely, on everyone I love's life, I promise you this is true. I didn't tell Ryan about any of the teams that I'm asking him about, and it is extremely hard to not know and then to immediately just spit out all kinds of stuff. So kudos to you, Ryan, because like looking back on how we set this up, I was like, of course, I had no doubts. But now that I'm on the show with you, I'm like, this is kind of hard. You're extremely knowledgeable to just like pull it out. So, you know, kudos to you for that. I mean, you know, if you had any doubt about Ryan's knowledge, there you go. But, yeah, last season, too, just to follow up on some of your thoughts, like if I had a nickel for every analyst who said that the 49ers were going to go under in their win total, I mean, I'd be pretty wealthy, I think. Like they, you know, everyone kind of saw it coming just because of the schedule alone. You know, the schedule was brutal. The travel spots, brutal. And then they got all the injuries on top of it. I just think that now that no one's thinking about San Francisco, especially they're coming into the season and the schedule set up, I believe they face the NFC South. This season, but just they have a really good setup. You know, to count on 49, there's a reason why it's juiced to the over. I believe 10.5. It might be 11.5 based on their schedule. I don't have that in front of me. But that wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, if they got to this, I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl this time, but a deep playoff run would not surprise me. Dallas Cowboys, Ryan, I'll just start off by saying this. I'm higher than most people on the Cowboys, and Lord knows I don't want to be. You know, I'm not a Cowboys supporter, but you know, Dak Prescott's pretty good. Like I don't think he's top five necessarily, but he's pretty good. I mean, he was an MVP candidate in the past for a reason, and I happen to love George Pickens on this team. I mean, I think CeeDee Lamb is one of the most. He's still underrated in my opinion because you know people talk about Justin Jefferson. Obviously, now Malik Nabers is coming onto the scene. You know, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb just always gets open, Ryan. I mean, he's, you know, he catches balls, he gets open, unreal speed, athleticism. And now you got George Pickens, who I also think is underrated. I think on the right team, you know, not with Russell Wilson as your quarterback and, you know, a Steelers offense that doesn't know what it's doing. I think this is an air attack that could really, they could just have a great passing attack and they could just win games because of that. You know, because I don't know how much else they're doing. Micah Parsons, we'll see with that whole situation. But I'm higher on the Cowboys than usual, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were second in the NFC East. Ryan, I wouldn't be surprised if they were first. And that's not me, you know, beating up the Eagles, because the Eagles deserve to be the favorite. The Eagles will probably still be back in it, but it wouldn't surprise me. What are your thoughts on the Cowboys?
Yeah, to real quick hit on, like, you know, that you didn't tell me any of these teams. You got me with Arizona. You got me. Like, I was, like I said, like, when I was coming into this, I was like, he's going to ask me about the Cardinals. And I just have, like, a lukewarm take on the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I thought you'd ask me about Dallas, too, just because I've known you for as long as I have. And I agree. I'm glad you did because they're fascinating. I don't know. I don't understand their head coaching hire. That'll say. Like, that blew me away. I don't know what's going on there. Their offensive line is a fascinating solve, too, because Zach Martin retired. But the one thing I'll say about this organization is for 10, 15 years now, when I've thought their offensive line was going to take a dip, they've figured it out. So I'm not worried about that. I'm 100% with you on Dak Prescott. I know you're not a fantasy guy. I don't really like fantasy either. I play it just because I make money in every year, and that's ultimately, you know, what my interest is here. I'm taking Dak Prescott on purpose in fantasy drafts. You know, you can get him at a good value. I think George Pickens, maybe he's a head case. Most of these wide receivers seem to be. I think we'd both agree we're neither of us are wide receiver guys. But he's a plus athlete. He's a very good number two for a premium alongside a premium one like CeeDee Lamb. And I think it helps Dak. They have a terrible running back room. So I think right now he's second in markets to lead the league in passing yards. But I really think that's him, Burrow, and Mahomes. Like I think like it's going to be one of those three. Defensively, my only thing is the Micah Parsons situation seems like that does not seem like an act, you know, like a lot of times these guys operate, you know, from a point of leverage with these things. But like, I think there's actual bad blood there. That said, Chris, like I just wrote a Survivor piece yesterday and I view Dallas as a team like that you probably have to play. So I view them as a quasi playoff team as well.
Love it. Love it. You know, one thing I like about Ryan, always liked about you, Ryan, is you just have a way to you have a way to put things in a very short, like one phrase that kind of describes it well. And you don't think it's an act with Micah Parsons is a great way to put it. And if you look at, you know, there are advanced metrics done on Micah Parsons in the lineup versus Micah Parsons out of their lineup, and their defense drastically changes in performance, obviously to the negative when he's not in. I believe they still got plenty of sacks last year, but you know, they got some young guys that are working, but they need Micah, you know. But I agree with you about that offense though, and Dak. Don't forget about Tampa too. You mentioned a few teams there. You know, Baker's deal. Sure. I don't have Tampa on this list, but I would put the Bucs wide receiver room against almost any wide receiver room for the last 10 years. I mean, that is a very, very good group. And I think Baker could lead. That's one of my prop bets that I have in is Baker leading the NFL in passing yards. We'll see if that got a pretty good price on that, Ryan.
He would have been fourth for me, so I'm on board with that, Paul.
Yeah. Okay, another team that's not going to surprise you that I'm bringing up because we love Joe Burrow. Ryan and I are Burrow guys. Man, watching quarterback this on Netflix this past month, even more of a Burrow guy now, just because he's kind of a dork, you know, which I love about him, you know. And I already kind of suspected that, but to kind of see it, you know, see it in his personal life is cool, like kind of a mama's boy, you know, just kind of a sweetheart. But ice cold quarterback, everybody's anticipating that this is going to be the team you're going to want to bet overs on. And if there's any indication from the preseason, I know we don't want to take too much from the preseason, but I have real concerns about that defense, Ryan. You know, I like that they brought in Hendrickson. You know, they figured that out. That's a done deal, but I think there's a lot of work to be done on this defense. I hope the best for Cincy always. Like, I think they're just always a Super Bowl threat because that's how fucking good Joe Burrow is. Yeah. But I'll leave it at that. What are your thoughts on Cincinnati?
No, same page. Again, we've known each other for years now. I was confident that whenever we talk about football, we're going to have to talk about Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
so I was confident you bring them up. And I'm largely on the same page. That defense looks like the worst defense in football on paper, and it has for years. You know, like, that is not a very talented group. And their offensive line's dicey again. You know, Chase Brown had a really good year, but he's not a great player. This is really genuinely – it's a bit like Andrew Luck with the Colts, but you get Chase and Higgins with them. Joe Burrow's just such a good player that they could win 11 games just, you know, because of him. But I think – them and Buffalo are the two teams where they're the most reliant on their quarterback, where, you know, they sink or swim based on them. And the only reason Cincinnati's a factor is because Burrow's a top four talent. And if you told me you think he's the best quarterback in the league, I wouldn't even argue with you.
Absolutely. He's going to win a Super Bowl eventually. They just have to figure out.
I hope so.
Yeah. They just have to figure out. Yeah. I don't want him to be another, Dan Marino. You know, I don't want to see that. I have nothing more to add, but I will just say this. One of Ryan's famous sayings is Joe Burrow's the kind of guy you wouldn't want to leave your girlfriend alone in a room with, right?
Yeah.
That's a great saying. Explains exactly how we feel about Joe Burrow. Much respect to you, Joe. Hope something good happens this year. Also, Lou Anarumo going to Indy is the one reason why I give Indy a chance. I think he's a really great coach. I just think he's
had too.
You know, a tough roster in Cincy. All right, we got two more of these random teams. Then we're going to get to a little bit more of a deep dive on the Giants. We can go quicker with these if you want. Minnesota, Ryan. My thing is this. Everybody's high on Kevin O'Connell, kind of worshiping him as a coach. And I get it. Like, two playoff berths in three seasons as a coach. Although he did get beat by Daniel Jones in one wild card round. That's not great. But, you know, I like Kevin O'Connell too. Like, you can see it just how he runs a team, that he's good at what he does. But man, JJ McCarthy better be everything he thinks, because they went 13-4, 14-3 last season with Sam Darnold, and looked pretty damn good. I think they're still going to be very competitive, but I'm not necessarily high on the Vikings. What say you?
I love that Minnesota is probably my favorite team to talk about this year, because they check so many boxes. I believe they went 8-2 in one score games last year. Natural regression candidate. That's an obvious thing. Schedule is freaking brutal. Absolutely brutal. The division's awesome. Everyone's a tough out. That said, on the flip side of things, they got better with their roster. They added two Colts offensive linemen to their interior line. They got better at defensive line. Their roster's actually better. They actually improved. And like you said, I like O'Connell too. Brian Flores, I think him and Vic Fangio are the two best defensive coordinators in the league. Let's throw Steve Spagnuolo in there too. Those are the three best defensive coordinators in the league. So I'm a big believer in that. And O'Connell, you know, not only did he get borderline MVP play out of Sam Darnold last year, Nick Mullins, who's terrible, threw for 400 yards a couple times with O'Connell. So I actually am not a big J.J. McCarthy guy on his own. He just landed in a perfect landing spot. So
yep.
That's my only real interest in him. That said, like, here's how I see it. Their win total is 8.5. I think the floor is 8 wins. You know, even if they regress 5 wins, like say they come back down, they lose, they go, you know, 3-5 in one score games. I still think if you're betting they're over, you're going to miss small, but I think they're going to be stuck in that like 8-9 win range.
Real quick, what do you think on week one against Chicago?
Oh, that's such a tough game, man.
That's like, a tough game.
I'm going to lean Bears, but that is a tough, tough game. But I'll lean.
I know. I like want to take the Vikings there, but can't do it.
I hear you.
Can't do it. Yeah. I mean, the Bears are going to be improved too. I probably should have put them on this list too, but there's only so much time. I got one team left other than our Giants, the Houston Texans.
A good one. I think the AFC South's fascinating, which we'll get to with a futures bet later. CJ Stroud's a excellent quarterback, but their offensive line was bad last year. They lost their best player, left tackle Laremy Tunsil. They lost a couple other guys. That could be a really, really, really bad offensive line, where I almost think the defense has to carry this team in some ways. So, you know, I think Stroud and the defense keeps them in that 8-9-10 win range. But if they bottomed out this year where they end up firing the coaching staff, it would not surprise me.
Yeah, Houston's a team I barely even talk about, because I really don't. Yeah. I mean, I think that CJ will do enough to keep them in games, and I think they'll win games because of CJ and that defense. But like you, man, serious concerns about that offensive line. I mean, you can't have your quarterback be the most pressured guy in the NFL last season, and then there's really no upgrades, or developmental upgrades at best. So it's a concern. Now, you know, thankfully they're in the AFC South, but it ain't going to come easy. That's for sure. Okay. The New York Giants, for the Giants fans there, or maybe Giants apologists out there, maybe they're sick of seeing the Eagles win. They certainly hate the Cowboys. We could have talked about Washington too, which is a very exciting team, but Ryan and I are Giants fans, for better or for worse. Yeah. Let's just go quickly by unit by unit, Ryan, because I think we have the coaches figured out. We have our take on them, whatever. But like, I like Daboll. I don't know if Daboll's, you know, he's not Parcells, but I think he could lead this team to the playoffs. I think he's a good enough leader. And I think he's really good with quarterbacks. I just think he hasn't had the right quarterback. But quarterback room, I said this to Steffi Smalls on her show, which I had a chance. She's also a Giants fan, great personality in the industry. I think it's the most fun quarterback room in the NFL, man. I mean, you got cringy Russ Wilson. You got Jameis, who's always going to keep things interesting. And dude, Jackson Dart, I didn't know what to think. You know, you got to wait till you see him on the field. But I don't think he's going to look that different in the regular season than how he looked in the preseason. He's a confident kid. He knows how to step up in the pocket. Like, the pocket looked so much different with him in it than it did with Daniel Jones.
Sure.
I know it's not much, but it's an observation, right? And I'm high on the chances of him at least being a franchise quarterback. Not Eli Manning. Nobody is but he's a guy who could stick around for a little bit. I'm not going to make any strong statements about it, but I'm entertained by this quarterback room.
Yeah, I mean, I frame Russell Wilson as the guy that shows up to the pool party in a Speedo. So cringy is cringy is the perfect thing. Winston's a I hate Jameis Winston as a quarterback just because he's so careless with the ball, but it appears he's a good culture guy, you know?
Yeah.
I agree. He makes that room interesting. With Dart, here's the thing. Like, we've seen Daniel Jones as the quarterback for 5 years. Dart is definitely a better quarterback than Daniel Jones, manages pressure better. I think he's more good than great, meaning I've said this a number of times. I see Derek Carr a lot. Derek Carr doesn't really give me a lot of enthusiasm, you know, but like Derek Carr's a guy, like he can be an NFL starter for 10 years. He can upset real teams, contending teams. I think that's the bucket he's in, and the roster's better. So I'm not like, I think Herm Edwards compared him to Josh Allen. I think that's absolutely fucking insane. But Derek Carr's, you know, an upgrade. Like I think like Derek Carr, Jordan Love, like I think that's like where his future's headed.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of this before. It's called like the Dalton line, right? Like Andy Dalton is like the most average quarterback in the NFL. So it's like, where does your quarterback stand? I think he would sit slightly above, like slightly better than Andy Dalton, but he's not like, Josh Allen comparison. What are you kidding me? let's hold off until we see some real football. But yeah, it's at least interesting. Okay. The talent group on offense is, I would say, better than what we've had in years. At the same time, you know, this is an offense that like needs to get stretched, right? And that's why I'm interested in these quarterbacks, because every guy will stretch the ball. Every guy will throw it downfield. It's not something the Giants have had for years on end now. Yeah. And I do think that the ground game can continue to be formidable. Obviously, the offensive line has been the biggest question mark, and I'm unfortunately haven't done enough and still not convinced that they're going to really hold up for all season. Any other thoughts about their offense?
No, largely on the same page. One thing I'll say is I love Cam Scadabo as a player. Yeah. I just wish he was a smidgen faster, because those holes in the NFL close quick, and I think it's going to be a problem for him. The wide receiver room's interesting. Darius Slayton's actually a good fit with Russell Wilson's skill set. I think he's always been an underrated player because he's never had a guy, like you said, all these guys throw the ball downfield. I don't think he's going to be a great player, but I think he's going to be a solid role player. Malik Nabers, I think, is a top four receiver in the league right now. Offensive line, again. Let me frame this way, Chris. I'm like neutral on Brian Daboll. Like, I agree with what you say. Yeah. I think he's solid, you know? I don't like how the Martindale situation happened a few years ago. That was a big red flag for me. But strategically, like, I've never really had a problem with what he does. I do think Shone's done a very good job rebuilding this roster. They actually have strengths. Evan Neal, I don't think anyone was expecting him to be a complete catastrophe. And it looks like he might even not be able to handle playing guard. So I don't think that's his fault. But if Andrew Thomas stays healthy and the center steps up, and everything else goes according to plan, like you're looking at like the 20th best offensive line in the league. So that right now is the problem, I'd say.
Yeah, and again, if you have a quarterback who can move around in the pocket a little bit, which I think Jackson Dart was probably be the best candidate of that group, then maybe he can, you know, mitigate some of those problems. But remains to be seen. Totally agree about Cam Scadabo too. And you know, who's the wide receiver you mentioned? I'm talking Giants, and I see this is what happens before the season.
That's right. Slayton? Slayton or Nabers, yeah.
Yeah, Slayton is very Ryan, this happens to me once on every show before the season.
It's true. It's
names true. Go away. He's very Tyler Lockett. That's what he is. Which I, you know, just like good route running, slender, can you know, do those similar catches. So I do like him with Russ. I like the comparison that you made, that he could work well with Russ. How soon do you think we're going to see Jackson Dart?
Let me dig up the schedule, because I actually have a plan. I think it's either at New Orleans in week 5, and the only reason for that is if they start slow now, since everyone's going crazy over this dude, the fans are going to be absolutely relentless about playing Dart, so I think that's on the table now. But I think the original plan was either at New England in week 17 on Monday Night Football, or their week 14 bye, I think was the original plan, and I hope that's what they stick to, because as we know, the first 12 games are absolutely brutal for the Giants.
Oh, they, you know, some people think various things about Warren Sharp. He releases his schedule of the schedule rating every season. Giants are the hardest, and I can't disagree with that. I mean, that's a terribly, terribly difficult schedule. Yeah, I think we see Jackson Dart fairly quickly. Because, you know, the one thing about Russ is just that there's an explosiveness to Russ that, you know, you see his workout videos. People love to share those. It's not the same, you know. Yeah. And that was really his X factor. When you watched him on the Seahawks, he was always outside of the pocket, always extended plays.
Yeah.
Really can't do it anymore. And I think that's going to be a huge problem with that offensive line. Okay, just want to ask you about the defense quickly, and I want to focus in on our defensive line. Is it the best in the NFL? And can this be a top 15 defense at least this season?
You're going to like this because it's going to sound a little hot takey. I do think they have the best pass rush in football. I do. And I do think they have top 10-ish secondary on the table. So yeah. I think the Giants can be a top 10 defense, and they should be a top 10 defense. And I think in a best case scenario, I think they can sniff the top five. Like I do think I don't know if you're going here with this, but if the Giants had the 49ers schedule, I think they could make the playoffs. It's just the schedule that I can't find like more than 6-7 wins, you know.
I like that.
I think the defense legitimately is not drawing dead at the best defense in football from a talent perspective.
Yeah, but you know what I hate about the Giants defense right now is that they're still sitting 3-4. That's not a Giants defense to me. I want a four-man front. Yeah. I want two ends, you know, two defensive ends, or maybe like a Lawrence Taylor kind of creeping in, you know, linebacker, a defensive end. So I just hope they maximize this pass rush. You know, you got a guy like Kayvon Thibodeau now as a linebacker, you know, ish. Like, I think that's a good move, right? Because he could benefit more. He's long. Things like that. But I just don't like a 3-4 base for the Giants. It just doesn't make sense to me, Ryan. But that being said, I really like your take on the secondary too, you know, bringing over Javon Holland, whatever. This is a group that can at least keep the Giants in game. Like, teams shouldn't be able to pull away, if nothing else, because of their pass rush. And then they actually have some talent in the back end now, you know, which is like freakish for a Giants roster at this point. Like, we almost never had that, you know. Like, even Giants Super Bowl teams, it was questionable how good those secondaries were. Okay, finally, just two more questions about the Giants, Ryan. Do they have a shot against Washington week one? And are the Giants a team that you would consider? Now, they have a very difficult schedule, but like, do you circle any spots for the Giants to win a game in Survivor this season?
Ooh, interesting. First of all, I think that week one game at Washington's a coin flip game.
I do too. I think it's very
I think it's a coin flip game. Yeah. Like, for Survivor, like, I'm not playing Washington in any lineup that I have.
Agreed.
Especially because like that pass rush has speed, you know? And while Jaden Daniels, I think he's the real deal and all that, I could see Washington taking a step back. They overachieved last year too. Giants have a good roster, and you know, they played them. They should have beat them the first time they played them. They played them tough twice. So definitely with you there. Who could they beat? Like, upsetting someone? I don't think they're going to upset Philly. I do think if they're 1-1 or 0-2 week three against Kansas City, like, I don't think they're drawing dead in that game. I don't.
I got them week five at the Saints is something I'm looking at. That's about it.
Sure. Oh, for Survivor, yeah, that's the only playable game they have in Survivor.
Yeah, yeah. See, so, you know, for anyone who's listened to Ryan and I in the past, if you're fans of ours, listen to the Giants, this is probably the most optimistic we've ever sounded. And it's not going to be a great year, but it could be a good year. And that would be, or at least an entertaining year. And that would be a huge improvement from seasons past. Okay, we're going on about almost 50 minutes here. So we'll wrap up with some just more like perspectives, Ryan, about other things other than teams. Let's start with Survivor. I love playing Survivor. But I haven't won on a big level in a long time. And I really need to. I consider myself a Survivor expert, haven't won in 3 years. So I think there's a lot of parity in this NFL, like more than seasons past, where you enter week one and suddenly like your perspectives have radically changed. Like, I have a board where I don't know if I can turn my camera, but I have every week listed for every team that I'm anticipating. But after week one, I'm thinking I'm going to have to stand in front of that list and like drastically change quite a few things. As a Survivor specialist, what would you recommend, or what kind of advice would you give to those who are trying to win the big ones this season?
I love that. Like, I think you should have a long-term plan. Like, you should have a plan of, when can I play Kansas City? When can I play Buffalo? When can I play Baltimore? Like, Kansas City and Baltimore have much tougher schedules than Buffalo. So Buffalo has a lot of versatility, but like, those are the queens on the chessboard. Like, you want to plan your insertion points or your potential insertion points for them. For most of the rest of the league, like, you're going to have to pivot, you know? It's good to have a plan, and we're going to learn more about these teams every week. You know, like last year, for instance, going into the year, the Minnesota Vikings were not a team that any of us viewed as, oh, we have to play them in Survivor, but they won 14 games. So things are going to change. My advice would be, I don't play games early. I play a lot of volume, so I play games early with some rosters. But if I was playing one roster, I'm playing stable teams early in the year because half of the entries get booted in the first 4 weeks virtually every year. So that's the one big macro take I'd give you. Stability early. I try to hold Kansas City specifically until late in the year, you know, or Baltimore's team. Schedule-wise, you can't do it this year with Baltimore, but I try to play them early because if Lamar Jackson suffers a lower half injury, he's going to be a different player. So I want to usually get them out at their peak, but the schedule doesn't really afford that this year.
I'll say this. If you have to play Thanksgiving and Black Friday as a extra week, you have to probably save either the Chiefs, Ravens, or Eagles. It's really tough. And those aren't easy games. Chiefs are at Cowboys. Ravens host the Bengals. And Eagles are at home against the Bears. So there's nothing easy about the Thanksgiving slate. And I know for Circa, which I have three entries in that this season, that's going to kill a lot of people, man. Like, that's going to be a really, really tough week. You know, I would throw the Lions in there, but we've seen the Packers beat the Lions in Thanksgiving 2 years ago, and I just don't trust it. You know, Jordan Love on turf looks pretty good. So you're going to have to save some of those elites at least for that week if that's in your future, if you're in a Survivor that includes Thanksgiving games, and as usual, just very unpredictable. Like if you look back 10 years of the NFL, I do think that Survivor's easier. I just do. I think there's more talent. I don't know about better quarterbacks, but I just think there's more evenness throughout the entire league. And then you have maybe a few elites that could also lose. Okay. We're going to get to Ryan's, any bets that he wants to give out before this show concludes. But before that, Ryan, you asked me to bring up industry perspectives. You and I talk about this kind of stuff a lot because I know since I joined the sports betting industry and on Twitter and X and all that about 5 years ago, a lot has changed. And it's certainly tough. Like if you're a newbie to sports betting and you want to maybe break into this industry or just take in insight from others, you'd be probably pretty hard pressed to sift through the saturation and everything that's going on, which happens, you know, when there's billions and billions of dollars being poured into this industry. So it makes sense, but it's hard to find good quality content. Again, that's a nod to you. Check out Ryan at Establish the Run and follow him on Twitter. One of the few guys who I would even consider listening to his insight. Ryan, what are your thoughts on the industry today?
Well, first, pal, I want to say this. Like, I did say that I wanted to talk about this subject, but I gave you zero details, and like you covered like 70% of what I wanted to talk about. Like, you like leaned into exactly what I want to talk about. When I first got into content, it's the intellectual process of trying to beat markets is I love it. You know, I don't think most people understand like how high end you have to be able to do that for any long period of time. And you know, I've had the privilege. I've worked at Established the Run since 2019. That is an integrity company in a space that loses integrity every year, you know, which is what sickens me a little bit. Like, I would use the word predatory with a lot of stuff that's going on. And like you said, like, if you're a newbie, like, that's the specific audience I wanted to speak to on this. There is so much trash out there. There is so much predatory stuff out there. There are so many people that are essentially grifters, you know, that like have never won any money betting, like, you know. I'm not going to name a name here, but like, I had someone 2 years ago that like DM'd me saying like, what do I do? I'm on my first cold streak. And like, now they're selling picks and like do network TV appearances. And it's just, it is gruesome. So like I said, like there's only a few companies I'd even consider working for at this point because of it. You know, like it's just be careful out there. And you know, if there's salesman stuff, like if there's people saying I bet $1 million on this game and it's not at certain sports books that actually allow people to do stuff like that, they, like I can't bet more than $15 on a futures in like an awards market at like several national sports books. So if I can't bet $15, how is this guy betting $1 million on a whale play? So just be careful of that stuff if you're out there looking for content.
Yeah, and those same guys are on the podcast, the shows, you know, they're it's a different career they're probably seeking, and they probably found not yep. necessarily just a cold hard better. Yeah, if you're limited to $15 on sportsbooks, yeah. That's saying yeah. a lot, Ryan.
Yeah.
With the new tax laws, you might have to go overseas anyway. So maybe, you know, maybe yeah. some new opportunities true. For there. True. Yeah, but you know, well said. Don't disagree with anything you would say, and certainly be careful, guys. Be very judicious, not only with the way you bet, which is who you choose to listen to. I tweeted out a week or so ago. I truly don't listen to anybody, and I think that's if you trust yourself. If you've been watching football and betting on football for a long time, just try that out for a season. You know, see yeah. how that goes. You might be surprised how you know less over analysis is conducted in your own brain. It can lead to more wins. Okay, we're wrapping this up. He is at Ryan Reynolds NFL on X. Follow him at Establish the Run as well. Always great insights over there. And I'm Farley Betts. You know where to find me. You can find me every week on this show laying the points with Farley Betts, although I'm not going to promise when I'm going to do it. Like I said, you could just expect an episode at a certain point. Follow me on Substack. Or become a subscriber on Substack as well. Ryan, season bets, future bets, week one bets, props, anything you'd like to give out as we conclude the show?
Well, I'm going to give you two futures that I like, two futures. One is we talked about the 49ers. Their schedule's great. 2 years ago, Brock Purdy was in the MVP hunt, you know, deep on, you know, Christmas weekend, I think it was, when he laid an egg against the Ravens in front of a national audience, but he's produced at an MVP caliber level. The 49ers have a very clear path to winning 12-ish games, being the potential top seed in the NFC, which is a silent requirement in this race. You know, it's a team success race just as much, if not more, than a productivity race. Brock Purdy at 30-1 in the MVP race is a pretty good bet. And then I'm going to give you another one, which is outside the box. The AFC South is anyone can win the AFC South, I think, except the Colts, which is where I'm going with this. The Titans' early schedule is brutal. I think they get murdered in Denver, and if Matthew Stafford's healthy, they're going to lose to the Rams. But two things from there. If they're feisty in those games, Cam Ward, rookie of the year's price goes down, Brian Callahan becomes like a 50-1 coach of the year candidate, I think the Titans have a good enough roster to compete long-term in the AFC South. So that's something coming into week three that I'll be looking at. You know, maybe mention it on Twitter, definitely cover it at Establish the Run.
Very interesting. So after the first 2 weeks, expecting the price to be even better.
Yeah.
And then maybe some AFC South winner, make the playoffs, win total. I like it, Ryan. Very interesting. You know, I have about 9 teams left on my deep dive for my team previews, which also is why I probably couldn't echo Darius Slayton, because my own Giants, I don't have any bias in these team previews. I haven't done my deep dive yet. The next week is that's happening. But Tennessee, I haven't done it yet. But I do like their roster just in a brief glimpse more than most. I just, you know, obviously the Denver spot is something I've been looking at in week one for Denver. A very interesting take there. The AFC South, man. I also would want to talk to you about the Jaguars, but I honestly don't have much to say. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about the Jaguars. You know, like, there's so much new there. We have to see how that goes. But in case you can't tell, I want to talk to Ryan forever about the NFL, but we can't do that. We're going on an hour here. Please follow him at Ryan Reynolds NFL on X. You can check me out every week here on some sort of show. Follow me on Substack. Good luck this season, everybody. And again, if you're going to listen to any insight, make it these two guys, these two crazy North Jersey boys who somehow still root for the Giants. I'll see you soon, Ryan. See you later, buddy.
Very easy, pal.